Okay, Titus chapter 1, and picking up in verse 10, we want to tie it back into verse 9 to get the flow of thought. But last week, Paul was instructing Titus on the qualifications for elders in the churches there in Crete. And he gave the function of an elder was an overseer. King James has the word bishop there, but it's episkopos, to watch over, an overseer. And in verse 9, Paul gave an instruction on the overseers that they were to be adhering to the faithful word according to teaching. So they were to be teachers of the truth, and they were to adhere to that message that was trustworthy and faithful. And the purpose of that is so that they might be able to encourage with the sound teaching, and to expose or reprove or rebuke the ones who are in opposition. And so we dealt with the idea there of the sound teaching. And we saw there that Paul refers to the sound teaching in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And he said the sound teaching, what he calls sound teaching, is that which is according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which he was entrusted. And we dealt with this idea of soundness, and really comes from the idea of healing. And so the sound teaching is the spiritually wholesome or healthy or healing teaching, and I like to think of it as that which is spiritually nutritious. Something that's wholesome and healthy is nutritious. It promotes vitality and vigor and good health. And here we're talking about in the spiritual realm, the sound teaching then is what promotes for us as we take it in spiritual health and well-being, and we are nourished by that. And so if we go on then into verse 10 now, the reason the elder needs to have this ability and be using this sound teaching is in verse 10 he says, "For there are many insubordinate ones, speakers of empty words and deceivers, especially the ones out of the circumcision." And so he needs to be able to refute and rebuke and reprove those who are opposing the truth, because there are many out there. Number one, they're insubordinate. And we had this same word, I think King James has unruly there. That means they will not submit to authority. They're unwilling to submit to authority. We had that over in verse 6, talking about the elder was to have faithful children, not in insubordination. It's the same word. In other words, the elder would be disqualified if he had children who would not submit to his authority. And I think we see one of the reasons is if he can't get his children to submit to his authority, how is he going to be able to deal with adults opposing the truth and be able to get them to submit to that authority? And so we have those here that they are insubordinate. They will not line up under the truth. They want to be somewhere else. They want to do something else. And as those who are not lined up under the truth, they speak empty words. And so this would be empty, vain. In other words, words that have no effect on anything. They have no spiritual value. In other words, if we contrast it to the nutritional teaching, the nutritious teaching, they're giving out empty calories. Okay? When you consume their words, you get no nutrition at all. And no, you are not spiritually nourished in your spirit. and they are deceivers. Of course, they use their empty words to deceive. And just like in the natural realm, eating food, you're full, so you think you've had a meal, but you're getting no nutrition out of it. It's not going to make you healthy. And that's a deception. This word deceiving here carries the idea of to deceive through seducing. In other words, they come in very seductively, and it's like Paul said to the Galatians. He said, "Who bewitched you not to obey the truth?" In other words, Paul looked at the Galatians and said, "What, does somebody come in here and cast a spell over you or something?" And so these guys, they will not line up to the truth. Instead, they're speaking empty words, and they're using those empty words to deceive and seduce believers. And then Paul says, especially the ones out of the circumcision. And this idea of especially, as I look, this word, melista in the Greek, what it really means is specifically who I'm talking about here are the ones out of the circumcision. That's who the ones are causing this. Of course, the ones out of the circumcision refers to those Jews who were promoting and practicing circumcision and the keeping of the law. And so in verse 11, Paul goes on and says, whom it is necessary to muzzle them, to shut them up, stop their mouth. Why? Because who they subvert, they overturn whole houses, teaching which things are not necessary on account of shameful gain or filthy lucre, you have in the King James. In other words, this is a money-making proposition for these guys. They're able to make money doing this. Either they're being paid by somebody to do it, or they're extracting money from the people they're teaching with what they're teaching. So here we have those who are out of the circumcision, and they are teaching things which are not necessary. In other words, they're teaching things, they're saying, this, you need to do this. This is necessary. But Paul is saying what they're teaching is not necessary. And just in light of that, let's go to Acts chapter 15 there, the Jerusalem Council. And of course, the Jerusalem Council, the whole issue was about, do the Gentiles who are coming to Christ, do they need to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses? Acts chapter 15. And so Acts chapter 15, and if we look at verse 5, and here they're, this is just prior to them convening this council, and in verse 5 it says, and certain ones stood up out from the sect of the Pharisees who had believed. So they have believed in Jesus as their Messiah. What were they saying? They were saying, concerning these Gentiles, it is necessary. You see that? Paul says they're teaching things which are not necessary as necessary. He says it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And so what they're teaching as necessary, Paul says, is not necessary under grace. And then let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. So you're just couple books back from Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's start in verse 3. And here Paul is speaking to Timothy. And according as I encouraged you to remain in Ephesus while going unto Macedonia, in order that you might command to some not to teach other doctrine. Now, there'd be other different doctrine than the sound teaching. Neither to take heed to myths and endless genealogies, which present questions or disputes, rather than the dispensation of God that is in faith, or the economy or the administration of God that is in faith. I think King James here has godly edification, which is it's not a mistranslation, The Greek text they used had a different Greek word. It had the word ekodomi, which means to edify. And whereas here we have ekonomion. So you have ekodomion, ekonomion. There's only a difference of one letter in those words. And you can see how there could be a mistranscription there in copying. There's a very small minority of Greek manuscripts that have the word edification. The vast majority have the word dispensation there. And, of course, that makes much more sense. And even the other one, grammatically in the Greek, doesn't really fit. So here, Paul says, he's commanding Timothy here that they need to be in the dispensation of God that is on the basis of faith as opposed to works. A faith economy. And then he says, and the end of the command, so what is the outcome? What will following this command produce? It will produce love out of a clean heart and a good conscience and unhypocritical faith. And then in verse 6 he says, which certain ones, having missed the mark, they have wandered unto empty speech. That's the same word we have over in Titus. They're teaching empty words. They have an empty message. And what are they doing? They're desiring to be law teachers. See, they're teaching law. They're teaching the keeping of the law in this dispensation of grace. They're not in the dispensation of God that is by faith. They're teaching works. And Paul says, neither understanding what they're say, neither concerning the things that they are strongly affirming. So these guys teaching very vehemently, but they don't even know what they're talking about. And so then in verse 8, Paul says, "But we know that the law is good if it might be employed lawfully." Okay, there's a proper way for us to view the law under the dispensation of grace. We don't pretend like the law doesn't exist. It had a function, and it still has a function. It has a proper use. And so we know that the law is good if it might be employed lawfully. Verse 9, knowing this, that the first thing you got to know is that the law is not set for the righteous. Okay, it is not a means of justification. And so if you are righteous in Christ, you are not under the law, you are not subject to the law. The law has no real purpose there. And so going on, who is it set for? It's set for the lawless and the insubordinate. That's the same word we had back in Timothy. And the ungodly and sinners and so on and so forth. And then going on in verse 10, and anything which is different that is opposed to the sound teaching. There's that same word again. The healthy, wholesome, nourishing teaching that Timothy and Titus are to be teaching. So the law is for sinners. For what purpose? So that they know they're sinners. So the whole purpose of the law is not to attain righteousness, but to give a consciousness of sin. And that is a necessary preparation then to faith in Christ. If you don't think you're a sinner, you don't need a Savior. And you can't have any appreciation for grace because you think, I'm doing it on my own. Okay, then back to Titus. So these law teachers, verse 11, Paul's telling Titus, you need to shut them up. You need to muzzle them. You need to not let them teach this false doctrine. And then in verse 12, he says, and a certain one out of them, one of their own prophets, says, Cretans are constant liars, they're evil beasts, and they are idle bellies. And Paul says, this witness is true. Paul's been there, he knows. And so somebody calls you a Cretan, you know what they're saying. So they're constant liars, they don't tell the truth. And this is not somebody, you know, somebody else saying that's what they are. This is one of their own saying what they are. And so they're constant liars. They're evil beasts, the idea, I think. They're brutes. They're just brutish, ill-mannered, and so forth. And then they're idle bellies. They're slothful and self-indulgent. So this is the raw material here that Titus has to work with in general. Now, I think, you know, once they give their life to Christ, then that begins to change. They begin to change because they now have the indwelling Holy Spirit. But this is what they are in general. And so Paul said, Paul confirms this, verifies this, says this is true. And so he's telling Timothy, you know, you got a tough job here. That's why you have to be strict. These are just not, you know, easygoing, compliant individuals here that you can be gentle with all the time. And so he says, on account of which cause, reprove them sharply. So that's the same word, reprove, that we had in verse 9, that they were with the sound teaching was to reprove the ones opposing. So reprove them sharply in order that what? They might be sound in the faith. They might be sound, nourished, healthy in the faith. See, it's just like someone who's eating junk food and they're sick. And you come in here, what do you need to do? You need to say, get off that junk that you're eating and get something healthy so you can be well. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. False teaching and false doctrine is junk food. And you can't have spiritual health. You got to get the sound teaching, the wholesome, nourishing teaching, in order you might be nourished in the faith. Verse 14. Not taking heed to Jewish myths and the commandments of men who are turning away from the truth. Okay, so you have to get them in a place where they are no longer taking heed to Jewish myths. And we can only speculate on what that is, myths or fables, things that aren't true. And then he says, and the commands or commandments of men who are turning away from the truth. I think it's important to see here, these are not people who haven't heard the truth and so are ignorant. They have heard the truth and rejected it and turned away from it, and they're persisting in teaching now what are the commandments of men. Let's turn back to Colossians.